First, could you just explain what white nose syndrome is and what does it actually do to a bat?
Right. So white nose syndrome, this fungus, affects hibernating bats. And when bats are hibernating in caves and in the right environment in the cave, the fungus is able to infect their skin and their nose and the membranes of their wings. And it doesn't directly kill them because of the infection, but what happens is it irritates the bats enough to wake them up during their hibernation. And by waking up, they have to restart their metabolism and burn lots of calories that they need to survive through the entire winter while hibernating. And they're starving. And so they go out to try to find bugs when it's, you know, negative 10 degrees out, and that's the end of it.
Since the disease hasn't actually been found in New Mexico yet, what was the reasoning behind closing the caves a little more than a year ago?
Well, the thing that we're really concerned about is that visitors might unwittingly introduce the disease to the caves from spores that are in the soil from other caves or in their shoes or clothing. It's been shown that the fungus is definitely present in the soils of caves or cave-like areas. So if someone were to visit an area and then come tromping into our caves, they could easily infect all the bats in our caves and wipe them out.
My understanding is that they only just confirmed what the actual fungus was that's been causing it in the fall. What does that mean now that that's known? What does that change as far as the future outlook for the bats and for the caves?
So some recent definitive scientific investigations have identified that specific fungus, the Geomyces destructans, as the cause for white nose syndrome, although the jury's still out if there's other factors like a virus or other agent that's helping promote the infection in the bats. Now that we know what's causing it fairly well, we can test the caves, the bats, the soil, and see if we can even detect it in the cave. So we can actually preemptively look at a cave and see whether it's already there, and then manage accordingly.
So as far as the plan for potentially reopening at least partially some of the caves, what's the strategy going forward?
We absolutely want to get people back in the caves at some point, but it's a monumental task that we're trying to tackle. We have over 300 caves out there. There's probably more, actually. And we have to really align the recreational opportunities we provide people with the best caves for people to go into, for instance, ones that don't have bats in them. So when we're done, we hopefully have a really good cave access permit system that's free and easy to enter specific caves, and nobody will be confused where they can or can't go and that kind of thing. And all it should take is a quick chat with a ranger before you head off into the wilds to find a cave to explore.
Any thoughts on a timeline for that kind of reopening?
Well, I'm new to the job, so it's taking a while just to really inventory, again, these 300 caves and figure out what's the best fit for the public desire to explore these really amazing resources. I mean, if you haven't been in a cave, it's fun and it's educational and it's an adventure, but balance that with our need to protect these resources for future generations, and that's the Park Service's goal. So for a timeline, I can't be too specific. I hope to have things going within a year or so, but we're working our darndest to go faster than that, but I can't make any promises.